This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together today a new lesson. We're learning together the book, The Garden of Faith, Gan Emunah, by Rav Shalom Arush. The main book that Rav Shalom has written, now sold in excess of 2 million copies in 10 different languages. An amazing success continues to be.
Isn't that the fourth version?
We're now going to learn from the original version of the book, which is now in its fourth version. It's now at something like 437 pages, compared to the English version at the moment on the market, which is about half that size. So the Hebrew version is really the version to learn from. So that's why it's important to translate and to learn the Rav's books. Because when the Rav wrote, he wrote, apart from the fact he's now written four editions, he wrote it in his words. When it was translated by Rav Brody, so it was translated in Rav Brody's words. He didn't stick to the same text that the Rav wrote. He wrote a very nice book, but it wasn't the Rav's book exactly. A little bit different. And also take into account another four versions and another 200 pages, so we can see that there's actually a lot more going on. There's a lot more in this book than a person will find in the normal Garden of Emunah book. Therefore, to learn straight from the Rav and straight from the original text is very important, because that's when we're going to get really the learning and the teaching correct and in full detail. The English version has a tendency to skip over the detail and to be a more surface approach, giving the general idea and the general picture about what we're talking about. But what the Rav talks about is very deep. And he takes it to the places right to the extreme degree. It doesn't just apply on the surface level.
But Rav Lazy Brody put a lot of time, effort, and hard work
into it. He made a great book, and because he made a wonderful book, it sold in English well over 1 million copies, right? From nothing, with no advertising, and from self-published to sell 1 million copies, self-published, no advertising, is an amazing feat, because he wrote an amazing book. But it's not this book. This book is 437 pages of a different book. Not completely. I'm using the... It's not obviously a different... But I'm using the... to make a point that actually what you're going to find in here is not exactly what was in the English version. There's a lot more and a lot more detail and a lot more depth. So a person who wants to study the subject, who really wants to get a good understanding of Emunah and to deeply ingrain it himself, he should go back to the original text. It's very important. So that's why I think it's also very important that we translate this and put this into English. Put it onto a podcast.
Do we have copies of
these? There are copies downstairs in the Medrash. There's not that many, because I just looked now. There's two other ones here. There's no, I don't think there's any Hebrew ones here. I didn't see them. But Bezat Hashem, we'll bring some maybe for the future lessons, so people can follow on. Okay, so...
They sell them downstairs also in the...
Yeah, Frida has them, and you can get them down there. So... very important. And one of the things the Rav says in the book, in his introduction, is that this is a workbook. It's not a book simply to read once and then come away with an amazing new understanding of how Hashem is running the world, how God exists, and how my life is now different, and then I go off and be different. No, it's a workbook to stay with. We forget. Not only do we forget what we learn, but also we change. We go through trials and tribulations, difficulties and challenges. And what was useful for me 2 years ago, 5 years ago, is not so. I need something more right now. Where am I going to get that from? I'm going to get that from reviewing and relearning the book. So what are we learning here? So here we're learning about Emunah. So what's Emunah? For those who aren't familiar with the word Emunah. Emunah means faith, belief, pure and simple faith, an understanding that Hashem that God runs the world, that God exists, that he's in control of everything. That's Emunah. And that's what we're trying to develop. We're trying to build on that. It's not something natural. It's not something that we're born with. We have to learn it. We have to learn about who God is. Who is God? What does he want from me? What am I doing here? How do I deal with life? All of those things we have to learn. We need instruction. And if a person thinks that they can simply get by on their own understanding, so God rapidly shows them that there's more to learn. It's not so clear. I might have a basic understanding that God made the world, God is good. That's about it. What else is there to know? But then when it comes down to the detail, the cracks start to appear. Because although I know God is good, right now I feel really bad. Those things don't go together. I'm not happy. How can I not be happy if God is good? How can this be happening to me right now? I don't deserve this situation. So we have challenges and we have difficulties. So if we don't really go into the topic deeply, we're not going to be able to deal with those contradictions. And then we end up living a lie, where we're telling ourselves that we have Emunah, that we believe in God. But the reality is, I'm walking around miserable, sad, depressed, unhappy. I get angry with my kids. I get upset with my wife. And that's the reality. But yet I'm still telling myself, but I believe in God. So what's happening? So the truth is, I do believe in God. But I haven't learned how to develop that belief. So I'm holding at a reasonable level, but I need to know that there's a lot further to go. Knowledge of God is endless, because God's endless. So wherever I'm holding, there's further to go. And it doesn't have to be a process that I ever need to stop. I mean, this is the thing that I came down to this world for. The holy book of the Zohar says the person came down into the world to know Hashem, to get to know God. So if that's my job, I can either ignore it, avoid it, or skirt the surface of it, or I can choose to actually go into it. And God will test me along the way, because at whatever level I'm holding of awareness of God, of belief in him, Hashem's going to push me on that and test me, because he wants me to move forward. He doesn't want me to hold where I'm holding and to just stay there flat. He says, no, there's more. You can move more. How does he push me? So he pushes me through tests. And those tests are very difficult, because during the time of the test, we don't have Emunah. The Rav explains in the book that if a person had Emunah during the test, it wouldn't be a test. The fact that it's a test means that at the time of the test, I have no clue what's going on. I'm confused. I can't see God in this picture. He's not here. All I see is bad. And at that point, that's when I need to have Emunah. I need to have faith. And it's at that point my true level of faith is going to show. Because at that point when I'm in darkness and I don't have the light of logic to carry me through, I'm reliant on only one thing, Emunah, faith. When I'm in pitch black and there's no way out and I have no idea what I'm doing, how I got here or how I'm going to get out, the only way I can ever stand up is through faith. Because I've got nothing else to hold on to. If I have something else to hold on to, then it's not a test. Someone else is going to pick me up. So I didn't do anything. When I pick myself up, purely on the strength of the fact that I know God exists, I know he's good, and I know this situation I'm going through is for my best and it must be good. And that's what picks me up. That means I actually have Emunah. I have that faith. And it's the faith that carried me through those tests. So, let's learn a little bit from the Sefer, from the book. So we'll start, I'm not going to go through the complete introduction, but I'll just go through a few parts of the introduction. So the introduction starts like this. Hasefer Hazeh Chaya Anashim, Simech Anashim, Chizek Anashim. This book gives life to people, makes people happy, and strengthens them. Cholim b'machalot kashot matzu bo mishenet v'achen noshau. People who were sick with difficult illnesses found support from the book and ultimately their salvation as well through it. People who lost their happiness for life, their will to live, their joy of life, it returned to them and returned them to life. And he's writing this because he's writing now in a much later edition, so people who read the early editions, and this is the feedback. It's not prophetically writing in the intro what's going to happen, but these are his responses to people who've read the book so far. So people who read this book testify that simply reading it gives them a comfort and a good feeling. So much so that they don't want to put the book down. The book speaks to a person's heart. Person knows something is right. How do we know something is right? So the Midrash explains that when we're in the womb, before we're born, for 9 months, we're taught the entire Torah. And then when we come out, an angel pops us on the mouth, this place where you have a little indentation, you haven't got a mustache covering it, right? And then you forget it all. So it's a puzzling Midrash, because why bother teaching you if you're going to forget it? I mean, what's the point? Seems like a waste of time. Just undid everything that you just did. So the answer is no. Many answers, but one of the answers is no. The fact that you've forgotten it means it's just forgotten and it's not gone. It means it's inside. It means that whenever we have whenever we learn Torah, whenever we learn truth, we recognize it as true inside. It wakens up inside of us a light that we know is true. A light, as if I knew that. Yeah, that's right. I knew that because I did know that. Not like a new piece of information that I never knew before. Someone comes and tells me, how do you say hello in Chinese? And they teach you and you're fine. You just added that extra bit of information to you. And something new, extra bit of information. But when you learn, when we learn about God, about Torah, we have a different feeling. We don't have a feeling that we just added a new bit of information. We have a feeling that we uncovered something that we knew already inside. And that's what happens when we read this book. Because this book brings out, I don't know if you had the same feeling when you read a book, that, yeah, yeah. You turn the pages going, yeah, exactly, yeah. And that's why it brings a person great comfort. As well as teaching us how to actually practically speaking come closer to God. So let's move forward to the first chapter. At the beginning of the first chapter, before we get there, Avarish brings a quote from Likutei Moran, from Rabbi Nachman's main work, from Reish Nun, 250. And he says like this: "Shekol minei tzar v'chol ha'yisurim einam rak mechesvon adat." Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Moran, the Persian should know that all suffering he has in this world only comes from one place, and what's that? A lack of da'at. What's da'at? So da'at has different translations, but for this purpose, I would translate it as awareness of God. And the person lacks the awareness of God, that's why he's suffering. My suffering comes because I don't realize that God is here, that this is coming from God. It's another word for emunah, lack of that, having that. The person has awareness of God, he's connected to God. He knows that whatever he's going through in life, as the next words I'll translate, he knows that everything is under the divine guidance of God. He has no suffering. He doesn't feel any suffering. Right? Ki Hashem natan va Hashem lakach. So Hashem gives and Hashem takes. It's all from God. The essence of Emunah that we're going to learn that the Rav gives us is that there are three principles of Emunah. The first principle, these three principles that we're going to repeat again and again, and that we need to have them engraved literally in our heart to deal with life. The three principles are, first, principle number one, there is nothing other than God. In the words of the Rambam, first principle of faith, God did, does, and will do everything in the world. Ein od milvado, there's only God. There isn't anything else. Right? One shouldn't ask where is God in the world. One should ask, where are we within God? Right? We are within Him, not the other way around. Hashem created the world from within Himself. We are simply a part of that. But only God, there's no other reality. We have to learn what that means and understand how that fits in with our physical world and what we perceive around us. But the truth is, there's nothing other than God. The second principle is that God is only good. God only has one mode, good. There's no other option. Okay, I don't see it. It's fine, it's because I don't see it. I'm limited. I don't know everything. I get things wrong frequently, right? But God is only good. That's principle number two. And even with those two principles, we'll come to three in a second, but even with those two principles by himself, I've now covered pretty much everything. Right? Everything comes from God, and God's only good. It means everything's good. That's it. With those two things, my life is now completely changed. If I hold on to those two things and nothing else, everything in the world that happened came from Him. And if it came from Him, it has to be good. Everything is good. There is no other option. There's plenty of options that I don't understand what's going on right now. I can't see why it's good. Fine. That's because I'm like a small child who doesn't yet know what's going on. When a small child wants to have another candy, and the father says no, so a small child starts screaming, and you're a bad father, and all sorts of stuff. Just doesn't understand it. It's good for him. But it doesn't mean it's not good just because we go by the child's interpretation. Truth is, it's good to withhold the candy from him. It's not going to help him. It's going to make his teeth rot. It's going to make him fat. It's going to make him a sugar junkie. Right? All these other things might give him a temporary high. And most of the stuff that we want in the world as well is also going to give us a temporary high. You're wonderful, but it's not good for us. So we're not the arbiters of what's good. We're not the correct arbiters of what's good. Because we don't know. Some situations we think we know. Maybe we do. But the truth is, there's only one arbiter of good, and that's God. He knows what's good. He created us. And everything is ultimately going to be for the good. And not only that, but we're going to find that out. We're going to know that. Either in this world or in the next. We're going to see exactly why all of those things that happened to us really were good. When we get to Shemayim, when we get to heaven at the end of the 120 years, and they show us the digital stereoscopic 3D movie of our life from start to finish, the whole thing, no edits, everything, including what we saw, what we heard, and what we felt, and what we were thinking, it's all going to be there on the screen. There's going to be nothing, nowhere to hide. So if you want some stuff to be removed from the film, you have to do teshuva, you have to do repentance, and you can get stuff removed, right? But if you don't, then it's all there. So there's no point in the movie where we're going to be able to stop the film. And when I was 16 and I had that car accident, or someone came and burgled my house and took my money, or there's no point where I can stop the film and say, what's going on here? That wasn't right. You're right, that wasn't fair. I didn't deserve that. It's not going to happen. We're going to be embarrassed at what a kindness it was that happened. That actually God was being so kind to us. We're going to see it entirely. We're not going to have any arguments. Right? So we're going to be very embarrassed by the fact that we thought that anything was wrong.
Who's but we're going to see the movie?
Huh?
Who's going to see the movie?
You and the three judges. A arguably that all the other people in there too. We're going to see, not only do we see the movie, we see the difficulty is that Chazal say that we also see the pain that we caused. We feel the pain that we caused. We spoke lush and hara about someone, we see the pain that caused that person. Right? If we were rude to someone, whatever we did, we see what we caused in the world. Can be good, can be bad, but so lots of reasons to person wants to strengthen themselves because that's meaningful for them. Like for a lot of people, that's really meaningful because, as the Chazal say, person, if you don't want to sin, you consider the day of death. Right? It's a very meaningful motivator to get our act together. So there are now on the internet many afterlife experiences, right, where you can see. And you can say, well, maybe they're lying, maybe they made it up, maybe it was a dream. But the proof is, if you watch them and you see these people, they're very believable, right? They're not making it up. There's no, right? And each one for himself can see. But it's a very awakening to see that that's exactly what's going to happen. But we can make teshuva. We're given a gift to teshuva, and we can clean up the slate, and we can walk into the courtroom relatively happy. But we're going to see that everything was good. Right? What's the point of that was to see that we were all going to see that everything was good, even if we don't see it now. And that's the emunah. We're going to learn that our emunah, our trust in Hashem, is to believe that in the darkest times, when I can't see why this is good, right? And we have very difficult lives, and lots can go and does go wrong. Financially, health, kids, marriages, you name it, right? So lots of not pleasant stuff going on.
Who has the power to forgive? Just the judges? Forgive as you see it?
The Gemara says that when they give your judgment, you agree it. You say 100%, there's no argument. It's not, your hands are, you're like, because everything's clear. Now, when we do something wrong in this life, it's very easy for us to cover it up, to forget about it, to have a coffee or have a beer or whatever it, chocolate, whatever takes the pain away, right? Pretend and move on. You just got angry at your kid. You shouted at him. Yeah. I shouldn't have done it. Anyway, turn the TV on. I've forgotten about it. But in the world of truth, we can't do that, right? And that's, look, they say that that's what heaven and hell is. Heaven and hell is not anything special. Heaven and hell is just you living with yourself after this life. If you went fine and you did good things, you're very happy. I'm happy to live with myself. Had a good go around, did some nice stuff, helped people, did stuff, tried to work on myself. But if I didn't, if I wasn't a very nice guy, I have to live with that for eternity. That's called hell. No one's doing anything to me. I'm just living with the reality and I can't hide it. I can't escape it. It's just me and me. Right? There's nowhere to run to, nowhere to, no painkillers to take the, right? Tov. So, with Emunah, oh, so we were doing the three principles of Emunah. So we said the first one was that there's only God in the world. God's doing everything. He's running the entire shop. No one else exists. If I'm blaming anyone for anything, I have a lack of emunah. My various experiences are the three standard blame people. His fault, someone else, it was his fault, her fault. My fault, I messed up again. Can't believe I did that, I was so stupid. Well, I'm blaming someone else, I'm blaming me, or I blame nature, in inverted commas. These things happen. Random occurrence. That's life. Just one of those things. Right? All of those three options for dealing with a situation are all heresy. Heretical. Because the truth is, there's only principle number one, there's only God. God's doing everything. Including the good stuff and including what I consider the bad stuff. If I messed up, it's also him. I have to learn exactly how to understand that. It's not such an easy concept. There's only God. Rule number one, there's only God. Rule number two, everything he does is good. Everything he does is good. But he's doing everything, so that's okay. And rule number three, everything has a reason, a purpose. Nothing happens randomly. Nothing happens without a purpose. Ravash proves this in the book one way by saying, you see that we don't do anything without a reason. Someone asks you to pick up this book 20 times. Why? No, just do it. No reason. Forget it. Why would I do anything just to pick it up and put it down? So he says, if man, who is the created, wouldn't do anything without a reason, you think the creator would? Right? Everything in the world has a reason. Everything has a purpose. And that's very useful, because that means that everything that's happening in life is directed by God for a good reason. We can have a conversation with Hashem, we can interact, we can know what the plan is, we can be part of it, because we can see that this is all for a good reason. And the fact that we can learn from the reason, we can understand what our job is, what Hashem wants from me, what He's trying to tell me. And our relationship to Hashem, to God, then becomes completely different. It becomes an interactive experience, it becomes a dialogue, it's no longer, hopefully it's a monologue, at least from me to Him, sometimes, right? But it's actually not, it's two-way. Because I can understand and learn from what's happening to me. Because it's purposeful, it's not just random. Whatever my wife's saying to me right now, it's for a purpose, it's a reason. It's not just random words that she decides to chirp out at me. Right? The fact that I missed the bus or that I got whatever, something happened to me today on the way. It's for a reason, it's for a purpose, not just random, I can just ignore it. There's stuff going on here. Hashem's trying to get my attention, trying to tell me something. So those three principles are what's going to change my life completely. If I live those principles, first of all, if we're learning here, there's no more suffering in the world. I can never suffer again. Because it just means I have a wrong perspective. When a child is running in the playground, 2-year-old child, he's running in the playground, and his mum is sitting on the park bench. What happens? Child is running, falls over. What does he do? First thing a child does is looks up at his mum. Why? To see, because he doesn't yet, he's 2 years old. How do I react? Did I just hurt myself, or is that okay? The mother smiles and claps her hands and gives him a big cheery grin. So he gets up and carries on playing. Everything's good. But if his mother freaks, are you okay, run, stop, run, yeah. So the kid realizes there's a problem, something's wrong, I must have hurt myself, and he starts crying. Same situation. The reality is, was he just playing, or did he actually hurt himself and there's suffering and pain? So the reality depends on what the person chooses. That determines the reality. There is or there is not suffering, but it depends. Do you consider this bad for you or not? I don't know, I haven't thought about it. When I think about it and decide, this is probably bad, so now I'm suffering. If I think about it and decide, actually, this is actually good for me, who's suffering? Right? If I lose my job, is that good or bad? It depends. Depends what it means to me. If I actually wanted to get out of that job and I was just waiting to get out and I was looking for an excuse and now they're going to give me a severance check as well, I'm actually very pleased. Right? But if not, if I'm worried about the economy and I'm worried about when we're going to get a new job and what my wife's going to say, and all, that's very bad. It's the same situation. So a situation itself is not good or bad. It's what I declare it to be. I can choose how I see my life. I see my life as a mess, so it's a mess, because I chose to look at it that way. If I choose to see my life as an interesting challenge, so I'm going to see it as an interesting challenge. This is a new interesting challenge this morning. I didn't figure on this happening. Thursday morning, I woke up with a bad back. Thursday afternoon, I came back and had a short nap to try to see if it would clear. After sleeping for about an hour, hour and a half, I decided to get up and go to the bathroom, because I couldn't. I was stuck to the bed. took me 10 minutes, literally 10 minutes, to work out a way of getting off the bed so that I could go to the bathroom. How am I going to approach this? Right? A disaster. Who knows what could this mean? Or, this is interesting, it's not happened to me before. Shame, what's going on? How I choose to see it is the reality. It was what it was. You're right. I couldn't get off the bed. That's a fact. You can't change that fact. But am I suffering because of it? Well, that's up to me. That is in my hands. When I see God, this is just from God. Right? God, you're doing this to me. I know this is from you. There's no such things as anything that's not happening without you. And I know that you're only good. So this has to be good. Right now, lying here, not being able to move, I can't see why it's good. Doesn't look very good to me. But I know that's for a good reason. So, I'm okay. Not upset, I'm not screaming, not crying, not moaning, not complaining. Okay, you know what you're doing, it's your world, it's not mine. This is good. Many reasons why it could be good. Could be a kapara, could be an atonement for my sins. We're wiping away a lot of sins this way. Very nice, thank you very much. Don't have to suffer, right? Get rid of a lot. Are you trying to get my attention? It was actually for a very good reason. It made me stop and think. My hibbodidut, my personal prayer, I got to a very important place that I wouldn't have got to if Hashem didn't give me enforced bed rest to give me several hours to work on it. He wanted me to see something that I was missing completely. It was really stuffing up my life.
How does hibbodidut fit into this?
So hibbodidut, which means speaking to the Creator in a person's own words, personal prayer, fits in because once I know that God's talking to me, and once I know that everything that's happening to me is from Him, so I now need to take that to the next step. So what exactly is it that you want? What is going on here? Why do this strange thing to me? Why send me this? There must be a message. There is a message. What is it? What? How should I change my life? How do I need to understand this, react to this? That's why His word is it. Plus, His word is
it. It doesn't change the movie.
It does change the movie because it changes me, changes how I'm acting. His word is it is also teshuva. Right? That's my time for doing teshuva, so that changes the movie. And it also changes what's going to happen next in the movie. It changes who I am and how I react to the world, whether or not I change anything. Person can't really change his life without his bodhidut. Because his bodhidut is the time that I actually see what needs to be changed and I make a personal decision internally to change it. But without that time, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to look and see what needs to change. I'm not going to take the time to internalize and make a decision to change. The best I can do is have a conversation with someone where it'll get mentioned, you know what? It's about time I stop being angry. Yeah, me too. Okay, anyway, right? But to actually have an anger conversation with myself, to see the fact that I get angry, to see how that affects my life, to realize in myself that I hate being angry, I hate getting angry, I hate doing that, to feel that pain, to feel that disgust, and that's what's going to motivate me to change. That's only going to happen in a time of personal self-reflection. It bothers it. And then to make the decision to change. If I don't do cheshbon nefesh, self-reckoning, self-accounting, and I have no time to go through that process of making any changes, I live my life from the movie perspective. I'm watching myself on a movie. It's interesting. I'm living with a very interesting guy. He gets up, he goes to work, he has an interesting life, and I'm watching it like I'm watching a movie. But I'm not taking control.
So how do we discern, let's say when we perceive something as negative, and back went out and discomfort, so how do we discern, you know, in our self-evaluations, whether it's a kapara or it's an onesh, and we need to change something, how do we, you know, decipher that?
So the fact that God is speaking to us and is in contact with us and is giving us this. So we have to understand that God's not playing games, meaning there's not a joke. It's not a something that I'm going to give you something, but I'm never going to let you be able to work out why I did it or what I did it or what I want you to do, and I'm just going to leave you in the dark. And then I'm going to give you something else. It would be a pointless and very cynical and very, right, weird and just completely wrong. Hashem is only good. So, therefore, the only truthful answer is that Hashem needs to be able to show us what he wants from us. But mida keneged mida. If I'm looking for it, I'm going to find it. If I'm asking for the direction and I want to know and I'm willing to know, then he's going to show me. But to the extent I'm open to change, if I really don't want to change, I'm very happy the way I am. That's how most of us are. Most of us convince ourselves that the way I'm living now, it's perfect. I'm this close to being a tzaddik. Oh, but there's a few things around the edges. But basically that I'm wants to change. Come on! Right? Because I don't want to change. I don't like change. But the truth is, I need to change. There's a lot to work on. When I start opening myself up to the fact that I need to change, Hashem's very happy to start showing me that there's actually a lot to change that I wasn't completely unaware of. And I just don't want to see it. So he's not going to open my eyes to stuff that I don't want to see. There's no point. What, just to make me feel bad? That you're really bad to your wife, but you know, I know you're not going to change, but I'm just going to show you how bad you are, even though I know you're not going to change. So he's not cruel. He's not going to do that. If I want to change, then Hashem is going to wake me up and show me how bad I am. Because now I've got motivation, now it's going to be useful. But just to show me how bad I am for no reason, he's not going to do it. So it comes as a question of meter, connected meter. Measure for measure, the more I want to see it, the more I'm gonna be shown it. Right? So if he's trying to show me that I'm selfish, people don't like to think they're selfish, people like to think, I'm a giver, I'm kind, right? I don't like to think that I'm stingy or I'm, right? But if I'm willing to accept the possibility that, you know what, maybe I'm a bit stingy, maybe I don't really give, maybe I'm selfish. Now I can say, ah, Yofi, now great, we've got something to work with. I'm going to show you exactly what you need to work on. And the message will come. For sure the message will come. And it won't be a question that, it might take a while, really, and that's dependent on me. Because I really don't want to accept often that I've got what to change. I'm looking for an easier way out. I'm sure you're just trying to tell me that I just need to smile a bit more. That's all. I'm sure that's probably what's going on here, right? Right? And therefore, it's going to take me a while till I move from that position. But the bottom line is, he's going to show it. Tough. So we're going to finish.
If you're going to change, Hashem's looking for you to remain, the happiness to remain there. Because if Baloney becomes sad or depressed, then Hashem will not.
The key indicator of whether or not we're on the right path is always happiness.
Okay.
Right? Because a person can try and force themselves down any path, including the path to religious piety. But if we're not happy, then it's not real. Right? A person can put on the religious garb and force himself to do everything it says in the code of law, but if it's not right, I'm not going to be happy doing it. So my weather vane to know whether or not I'm actually doing it from a correct pace, correct perspective, is whether or not I stay happy doing it. And that's going to be a key anchor for us as we try and move down the road to getting closer to God. Atras Hashem, we will continue next week. Thank you.
Next 4 weeks.
Next, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Great. Thank you.